So I thought we'd just do a little bit, kind of an overview of Hilchos Purim, just things everyone should be aware of, and then we'll start talking just a little bit of Divrei Chizuk, a little bit of Divrei Sarvus at the end. So the overview in terms of Hilchos Purim, obviously most of the discussion is going to focus on the different mitzvot hayom of Purim. What are some of the mitzvot hayom we should be aware of? So all the mitzvot hayom are in the Megillah, some explicitly, some a little less explicitly. So of course, the most primary mitzvah, the mitzvah Kriyas Megillah, is probably the one that's mentioned the least explicitly in the entire Megillah. But it says it, Megillah does record, Vayom Eila Niskarim V'Na'asim Cholador V'Dor. These days have to be Niskarim V'Na'asim. So Na'asim refers to all the mitzvahs Hayom. We'll talk about the Suda, Shachmanas, etc. What does Niskarim mean? So the Gemara says Megillah, it tells us that Niskarim has the connotation of Lashon Zechira, of a mitzvah of talking. The Torah very often speaks about mitzvahs of Zechira. The word Zechira in the Halacha usually never means just to think. It always means to discuss, lahazkir, to mention. Because the mitzvah of Zechira is Tzias Mitzrayim. One is not yet to just be here alone. It's a mitzvah of Zachar, Shemeshav, Stakacha. One's not yet to be here. Zechira Samolik, one's not yet to be here. The word Zachar usually has the connotation to discuss. So Tuba Yom El Nizkarim is a lashon of Zechira. And the Gemara goes on in Masechet Megillah and says that it's not enough just to talk about the story of Purim, but it has to be a Zechir Mitaych HaSefer. How do you know that? Because it says Nizkarim V'Nasim, and it says Ksov Zozi Karim B'Sefer. The Gemara says it's almost like a Gzeri Shava, even though it's a kind of a hard Gzeri Shava. You're learning out from Megillah Sester, from Sukkot and Chumash. And the Gemara says that Megillah Sester is different from the other Kisvei HaKodesh. That's Nitam Nidaresh Kamita Shel Torah. You can mamish darsha things. The way the Megillah Sester was written, as Avraham HaKodesh, is written in such a way that it's supposed to, you can actually learn halachas, how to fulfill the mitzvahs from the words of the Megillah itself. So the Gemara says we have a tradition that Nizkarim V'Na'asim refers to the mitzvah of Zechiras Haneis, and Zechira has to be Dafka Mitaych HaSefer, and has to be Dafka the Kriyas HaMegillah, of course, that we have today. So that's the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Nizkarim V'Na'asim, from a complete Kriyas HaMegillah, Mitaych HaKsav. The Pasuk says, V'Hayamim Ha'ilah Nizkarim V'Na'asim, so the Gemara says that when it says the word Yomim, so Yomim means Yom, Yom V'Lo Laila. How come we read the Megillah twice on Purim? We do more than once. All the other mitzvahs we do dafka bayom. So how come Kriyas Megillah? Where did it come from at night? That's what Gemara says beginning of Maseches Megillah. The Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that you have to chayv on the likros of the Megillah b'layla shenosa bayom. If you have to lay in the Megillah at night, then you have to read the Megillah again in the daytime. But the pasuk says v'hayomim ha'elah. The pasuk doesn't speak about doing multiple zechiras. It only speaks about one zechira. So this is what led a group of Acharenim, the Yehuda has like this, and the Sheikh Sai have like this, that in Rochinami, that the Ika mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah is Taka Bayoim, as it says in Megillah, Bayoim Ha'ilah Nizkor Menasim. The fact that we also lay in Megillah at night, that's a separate Takana, that's a lower level mitzvah, that's a mitzvah Midirabbanan, that's like Neres Hanukkah, that's another mitzvah Midirabbanan. The fact that we read the Megillah in the daytime, that is the status of, that's what the Megillah is referring to, that's the mitzvah Midivrei Kabbalah, that's the mitzvah of the Kisvei HaKodesh. And that mitzvah is only performed in the daytime. The fact we also late at night, that's only mit the Rabbanan. My nafkamina, the Raisa, the Rabbanan, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina where it's different Kabbalah, the Rabbanan? So there is a Taisus in the beginning of Maseches Megillah where Taisus raises the question whether one should say Shechianu when you read the Megillah in the daytime. The Gemara speaks about saying Shechianu by Kriyas Megillah. So Taisus raises a red flag. Why should you say Shechianu in the Kriya in the daytime? You just read it the night before. Shechiyot, you make a mitzvah that you haven't done mizman lizman. When a long time passes and you haven't done a particular mitzvah, then you recite a shechiyot. The mitzvah 12 hours ago. So what am I making another shechiyot on? But this is close though that the Kriyas HaMegillah by day is different than the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah by night. And therefore, it's a new mitzvah. What does that mean? So that's what the Acharonim write. That what Taisa is driving at is this idea that the Kriyas HaMegillah at night is a mitzvah midrabanan. It's a great mitzvah. It's a beautiful mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah midrabanan. The mitzvah that you're about to do in the daytime is the mitzvah based on the Kisvei HaKodesh, the mitzvah of the Kabbalah. And that's a different type of mitzvah. It's a more chashuva mitzvah. And therefore, it warrants a second Shechiyanu. The problem is that what would the Rambam say to this? The Rambam holds that you talk, don't make shechianu. Ram holds like Tosis Kasha. Ram says you only make shechianu the night before. You don't make the shechianu in the daytime. So you see from the Ram didn't buy into this distinction. The Ram held that the mitzvah night, the mitzvah day, is fundamentally the same mitzvah. Either they're both Rabbanah, they're both Rabbanah, whatever they are. But to draw this arbitrary distinction that the night is less than the day somehow, so the Ram probably didn't buy into that. But Tosis for sure has this idea. So again, so there's a mitzvah of Ayom El Nisgar Menasim. There's a mitzvah of Zechira, which translates to mean a Kriya, and the Kriya has to be Mitaych Ksav, it has to be from a Megillah. what exactly is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah? Is it really a mitzvah of Kriya? So we know that not everybody reads the Megillah. One person reads the Megillah and then everybody else hears the Megillah. So how do we understand that din? So one can understand that in one of two ways. Either you can understand that it is a mitzvah of Kriya. It's a mitzvah of Kriya that's mutalas on each and every person. So how can I be motivated to the din of Shemei Kohenah? Or maybe no. Maybe the fact that not everybody's actually reading, maybe it's not based on Shemei Kohenah. Maybe the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is more of a mitzvah of Shemiya. Maybe it's a little bit of a misnomer. We call it Kriyas HaMegillah. Maybe it's more a mitzvah of Shemiya HaMegillah. So the bracha seems to indicate that it's a mitzvah of Kriya. Usually when Chazal instituted brachas, so the bracha tries to encapsulate what the essence of the mitzvah is. So when Chazal instituted the bracha, Amikra Megillah, that Lashon HaBracha appears in the Gemara Masech of Megillah. That's the authentic nusach of the bracha. So over the fact that we say Amikra Megillah, that itself points in a direction that it's a mitzvah of Kriya, and it must be based on Shemek, or it's not based on Shemiya. If it would be Shemiya, we would have said the Shemua Megillah. So the Ran in the beginning of Sechas Pesachim asked what seems to be a very strange kasha. The Ran asked kasha, how come we make the bracha Amikra Megillah, we don't say Lishma Megillah? What means to say Megillah? So you get the impression from the Ran, almost that maybe the mitzvah tak ishmi is a Megillah. Ran is disturbed by why we make the bracha Amikra Megillah. He's trying to explain in Diktok, in Lashon HaKodesh, why we say a Kriya, even though the real mitzvah is the emes mitzvah is really a Shemiya. So the Ran gives you a whole explanation. The word in Lashon HaKodesh, the difference between Shemiya and Kriya. He says that the word in Lashon HaKodesh, when you talk about words, so it's more correct to use the phrase Kriya. Shemiya is more on sounds. So he says that for us to use the phrase Lishmo Megillah would not describe the fact that you don't just hear the sounds of the Megillah, but you have to hear the words of the Megillah. So therefore Chazal wanted to highlight that idea that it's made up, the Kriya Megillah is not made up of sounds, it's made up of words. Therefore they use the formulation of Amikra Megillah. This is in contrast to Lishmo Kol Shofar, where we do recite the bracha of Lishmoa. So the Ran says that's because a shofar, it's not, there are no words, it's just sounds. So you get the impression from the diktuk, from the back and forth in the Ran, that fundamentally the bracha of the Shema would have made a lot of sense, because the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is more of a mitzvah Shemiya than it is a Kriya. But those who disagree with the Ran, the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah, the Rambam starts to expect Kriyas HaMegillah, we usually assume it's Mamsha mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. It's usually based on the idea of Kriya, and therefore it follows that it's invoking the principle of Shemaya Ke'ayna. Even though we most probably hold that Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah of Kriya, it's not really a mitzvah of Shemiya, there is an opinion in the Rishonim that perhaps men and women are different in this respect. There is a famous question that the Rishonim raised, Tosfos quotes at the end of the beginning of Masechet Megillah, about, although the Gemara says that Nashim Chayavos to Kriyas HaMegillah, women are obligated in Megillah, Afed Hoi Biyosu Aneis, the Rishonim raised the question whether a woman can be Motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. So some opinions of the Rishonim say they can, and others say that they can't. So I'm going to guess that they can, that women cannot be Motzi men in Kriyas HaMegillah. And the question is, why not? L'chora, if a woman is chayeves, so then based on the regular dinim of being motzi people, if I'm chayev and you're chayev, why can't it be motzi you? For some Rishonim came with this idea that women are only chayevos in Shemiyas HaMegillah and not chayevos in Kriyas HaMegillah. Maybe the mitzvah is different. Maybe perhaps when Chazal formulated the mitzvah, so maybe the mitzvah was formulated differently. Maybe women, they instituted a Shemiyah, and for men, they instituted a Kriya. Why they should have formulated the mitzvah different, that's a whole other question. But there's some Rishonim who use such a lashon. If that's the case, that women are only chayavos in Shemiyah, they're not chayavos in Kriya, then it's not a different mitzvah. Then we understand why a woman can't be motzi a man, because her chiyav is not on the high, not at the same level as a man's chiyav. So the Rambam quotes this opinion in the Rishonim, when he talks about the nitzvah kabracha. The Rambam writes that even though we recite a Mikra Megillah, when men read the Megillah, that's what the Gemara says in Megillah, but when women, if a woman would have to be Yaitse in the Mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah, let's say a woman didn't hear the Megillah, and a man comes to lay the Megillah for the woman, so the Rama writes, the man should recite the Bracha, the woman should recite the Bracha, Lishma Megillah. She shouldn't recite the Bracha of Mikra Megillah, because with Chayisha, should not have been in the Mordechai, the women are talking about Chayavos in Kriyas HaMegillah, the only Chayavos in Shemiyas HaMegillah. So when all the dust settles, is it a Mitzvah Kriyas, a Mitzvah Shemiya? So for men, it seems to be Kriya, except for that Ran and Pesachim. But for women, maybe one could argue that it's Shemiyah for some strange reason. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that Kriyas are similar to other mitzvahs that can be Yotze B'Shal Lashona. We spoke about this earlier. Did we talk about this? On the beginning, no? Charufasi, we talk about this? Okay. We don't have to talk about this too much. This is my Rashi Prakim. That there are different mitzvahs that have to be performed after Lashon HaKodesh, and there are other mitzvahs that can be performed B'Shal Lashonas. But the Kriya Shema is a big machlekes HaTanaim. So we pass that Kriya Shema is never b'chaloshim. So Kriya Shema Megillah is also one of those mitzvahs that's never b'chaloshim. The Gemara says that the only time that's never b'chaloshim is Hashkaron L'Laws in the Laws. If you happen to understand that Lashon, then you can be Yotzei in that Lashon. Whether that has to be a Lashon that's spoken in that place or not, you have to have the notes from Chorafasi to see whether that's true or not. But if you speak that Lashon, and at least if according to some, if everyone else speaks that Lashon in that place, then one would be able to be Yotzei Mitzvah in Laz as well. There is a Machlokes and Rishonim, when we speak about Kriyas HaMegillah, Bishar Lashonos, what exactly does it say in the text of the Megillah? So the Chora, when it says the text of the Megillah, is the language that you're reading it in. If it says Vahibi Mechashverosh, and you read in the days of Achashverosh, so then you were reading Shalom Etoch HaKsaf, there's no correlation between the words that you're saying what's written in the Sefer. That's like reading Be'al Pes. That's for sure not going to be good. So it has to say in the days of Achashverosh. So the question is, how does it say those words in the days of? So if you'd ask me, it would say it in English. It says, in the days, I-N-T-H-E-D-A-Y-S, in the days of Achashverosh. And has the whole Megillah written in English. That's what it would have asked me. Rabbi Shem say. Rabbi Shem say no. It doesn't say, and it can't say that. What it says is, in the days, Aleph Yud Nun, the Tafe days, Aleph Yud Zayin, the days of Achashverosh. You have to transliterate. You have to make it like a ksuba. You have to put it like Ramesha to write his tshuvas. And he asked Ramesha tshuva about a machine, so he wrote machine mem al shin yun nun. When they asked Ramesha about a car, so he wrote kuf al fresh. He wasn't very to the modern Hebrew words of things. He just wrote the way it was spelled out in his Yiddish, Yiddish lashon hakodesh way of spelling. So some Rishonim say that if you want to be yaitz a kriyas Megillah in another language, that's okay, but it has to be written in the Ksav HaShuris. It's got to be written in the Hebrew characters. Why is that? Why does that be written in Ksav HaShuris? When we looked at Shabbos, we spoke a lot about this, but there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim about the Torah, the Halacha recognize other Ksavim. So if a person writes, that's why the Lamatis Malachas. Let's say a person writes in other languages, a person writes in English. So is that considered to be Kaisev in Hilchot Shabbos? So most of the Rishonim say, yeah, that's called Kaisev. There's one opinion, there's a Ruach, a couple of other Rishonim hold that that's not considered to be a Maisik Siv. The Torah is in the Siachis, the other foreign characters, that's not on the radar screen in terms of Siv and Halacha. So here, Kriyas HaMegillah has to be Mitechek Sav, it has to be a Halachik Sav. So if you hold that it can be done Mishal Losha and Mela, that's one thing. But to say it can be done in other Ksav and other scripts, so some Rishonim say, other scripts aren't Taifei. The scripts don't exist in them. That's like gibberish. It's like hieroglyphics. It's not a Ksav Bechlal. So according to some Rishonim, when you write Megillah in other languages, you still have to use the characters of Hebrew letters. It's not too relevant for us. Most of us don't read the Megillah that way. We read the Megillah in Ksav Ashuris. The Gemara says that if you hear the Megillah written in Ksav Ashuri and read in Hebrew, so then it doesn't matter whether you understand the Megillah or not. For that matter, the Gemara says that we don't understand a few words in the Megillah. So we're not really sure what those words mean, and we're still yaitzei. So you see that a lashon hakodesh doesn't really matter. The Gemara makes a whole fuss in a second Megillah that you can be yaitzei the Megillah even though you don't understand it, and proof being because we don't understand those couple of words. So we shed him a daik from that Gemara. What's the raya? Maybe you do have to understand the Megillah. Maybe if you miss those three words, because it doesn't really change the story so much. What's the difference how Achashverosh got his letters out, whether he sent me an email, sent me a text, sent me an Achashtaran and Be'erach, and who cares? At the end of the day, the story is the same. So maybe the din is that if you miss a couple of words here and there in the Megillah, you're still Yaitzei. So what's the Rai of the Gemara that when we don't understand those words, as you see from here, you don't have to understand anything in the Megillah. So the Rishonim write in that Gemara, no, you see from that Gemara that if you miss any word, you're not Yaitzei. You see, the Gemara takes every single word seriously. If you miss even one word, you're not Yaitzei. That was the Gemara that since the din is, if you miss even one word, you're not Yaitzei. And we know that we don't understand a couple of words here and there. You see from here that understanding doesn't really make a difference. As long as you read it, Lashon HaKodesh, so you would still be Yaitzei. So the mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah that has to be done, Zechira, Bayom, it has to be done with Tuchik Sav, etc. Yeah. How in the world would you translate Achshonim and Erebachim? L'chora, what you would have to do is you would probably have to say those words Achshonim and Erebachim in Hebrew because you have no way to translate them. So that's another big question. Can you be Yotzei a mitzvah in different languages? Can you be Yotzei part of it in Russian, part of it in other languages? And we would probably assume that, yeah, that would probably be okay. They say a story from Reb Chaim. I never understood the story. There's a story from Reb Chaim that says that somehow he had trouble pronouncing the word Esav. I don't know what the issue was exactly. In Kriya Shema, that Esav Besalchon, he'd have trouble pronouncing the word for some reason. So he would say the word Esav, and then he would say Gres. He would say Yiddish. He'd say Gres. No, Gres, whatever the Yiddish word was. He would say it just because he felt that he couldn't pronounce the word Esav properly. I have no idea whether that story's true or not, but somebody once told me that story. So if that story is true, so then you see from the Nice from Reb Chaim that you could be, I'd say, even though half of it is 95% is in Lashon Kodesh, one word is in Yiddish, he felt that somehow that was also acceptable. Anyway, again, I wasn't a big fan, so I can't tell you what the story is true. Okay, good. So check the book by in the Reb Chaim book somewhere.
According to the Rishonim,
they say
the Megillah can be written in foreign characters. Are there halachos for how you have to write the foreign characters the way you?
Yeah, the post can talk about that. And Mr. Brook quotes, some Rishon will say, what do you do? You put Tagim on them? On what letters? You put Tagim on the Z's because it's the Zion. You put Tagim on the T's because it's death. What kind of all this stuff is that? So obviously, the Dinim of Tagim wouldn't apply to foreign characters. The stomach, the basic din of Kisvei Kedush is that each letter has to be discernible as a letter. So let's say, Lamashal, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, when you write a Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs, so the basic din is uchsaf tam, ksivatama, so yichtav aleph aile, hey chesed, chesed hey, and vav and yud, and vav, etc. Each letter has to be discernible. So mistama, that din would carry over to shalosh aras as well. Let's say a guy writes the Megillah in a very sloppy job, so you'll look at his letters and you can't even tell what letters in English look similar. So he writes his M's very sloppy, you can't tell what's an M or it's an N. So that would be a violation. Shlotid ba'is l'chavrta. So the same way there's a din of shlotid ba'is l'chavrta by Ksavashuri, Mustama, there would also be a din of shlotid ba'is l'chavrta by Shalashanis also. So that wouldn't be chal. That letter wouldn't be acceptable. It wouldn't disqualify the entire Megillah because the din is that even missing up to over the letters with the evidence still kosher. But if you had the whole Megillah was so sloppy that you couldn't figure out any of the letters were, so that even though you read it properly, Mustama, that would be like it doesn't exist. Whatever so sloppy that it looks like a different letter is Kaman Balesa, we might guess. Okay, but so the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah follows the regular rules in terms of being motzi people. The same way we said before that I'm going to be motzi you in Kriyas Megillah, whether it's Shmiya, whether it's Kriya, whatever it is. Well, Reuben's going to be motzi, Shimon and Kriya and Megillah. So the regular rules of being motzi are going to apply. One of the basic rules of being motzi, so the Mishnah says, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Megillah, that you have to be a mechuyah bedavar. You have to be on the same level or higher level of obligation. So it's with that background that the Mishnah raises the question, let's say the person who's reading the Megillah is a katan. Can a katan be motzi a gadol in Kriya and Megillah? So the Mishnah quotes the Machlekes at Tanoim about that. So the Rishonim have a big problem. What's the case exactly? Is this child a gil l'chinuch or lo gil l'chinuch? Taisus asks the manashach. If he's a gil l'chinuch, so why can't he be mighty? He's chayiv in Kriyas Megillah. Why can't he be mighty? Somebody else. If he's lo gil l'chinuch, so how come Rabbi Yehuda say that he can't be mighty? So the case doesn't make any sense. So Taisus throws their hands up and they conclude, it must be this child is a gil l'chinuch. And we pass him like the Rabbanan against Rabbi Yehuda, that even though the child is a gil l'chinuch, he still can't be mighty to God. Well, why is that? Even though he's also chayiv mid Rabbanan, Kriyas Megillah is on mid Rabbanan. The Taisa says, because the child is what we call a trade the Rabbanim. The child's obligation in the Mitzvah Megillah is twice removed from being a Deraisa, because Kriyas Megillah is not a Deraisa, and a child's Chiyuv in general is on a Mid Rabbanim. So when I'm a, what we call a trade Rabbanim, and you're what we call a Chad Rabbanim, so a trade Rabbanim can't be Mitzvah Chad Rabbanim. That's what Taisa has created this whole klal, and there's a big question whether we pass like this, Machlik Sevishayim, but Taisa, that's the Pshah in the Mishnah. The reason why Katan, even in Gil Chinuch, can't be motzi the gadol is because a trade rabbanim can't be motzi chad rabbanim. Others give a different reason why the katan can't be motzi the gadol. The Ramban, in Berachas in third parak writes that the reason why a katan can't be motzi the gadol is because he's not even chayav mid rabbanim, because the Ramban understood that the chiyuv chinuch is on the father, it's not even on the child. The child is called a nothing; he's not a mechuyav davar bechlal. So that's the reason why the child can't be motzi the gadol. So whatever the reason is, lamais and shachnach we paskin that until the age of bar mitzvah, a child cannot be motzi a gadol in Kriyas Megillah. What about after the age of bar mitzvah? So that's a no-brainer. Of course that would be okay, assuming that the child is really bar mitzvah. So the Mishnayos tell us in Maseches Nida that in order to become bar mitzvah, two things have to happen. You have to have what's called shanim and simanim. I think we spent a lot of time in this earlier in the year, talk about simanim a little bit, and Yevamos we spoke about it a lot. So in order to become a gadol min haTorah, a gadol min haTorah, you have to have shanim v'simanim. You have to reach 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, and you have to have Dei Cyrus, Be'ese Mochav. What if you have a child who's 13, but they don't have Beis Iris? The Gemara says they're not really. How would you ever know whether they have Beis Iris? Terence says you wouldn't know. The Gemara says, Masechet Nida, that we have a chazaka, that the odds are that once they're 13, they most probably have Beis Iris. So therefore, we have a rove. It's a very, very good rove that the child already has developed Beis Iris. So the Gemara says that even though there's a rove that the child has developed Beis Iris, when it comes to Luchas Chalitza, we get very, very weary. Because in order to do Chalitza, for Layach, what's the Ish? It has to be an Ish. A katan would be no good min haTorah. It would be a disaster if the child did Chalitza. So therefore, Chalitza Boitkin, that we don't rely on this Chazacha of Ravach. Rav is the one who said the Chazacha that Yil Chal Shonim, Yil Chal Simonim. So Gemara Nida qualifies this and says we don't rely on this for Chalitza. Why don't we rely on it for Chalitza? So Sabach Renim writes this, Tachumra Chalitza, Yichas, you know, Erevim, maybe, a very serious area of Halacha. And others say no, because it's a Deraisa. Whatever's Deraisa, we don't want to rely on this Chazacha. So we assume in Shulchan Aruch, like the second version, we assume whenever there's a mitzvah deraisa involved, we're very, very weary. We don't want to rely on the chazaka that every bar mitzvah boy is necessarily really bar mitzvah min haTorah. The dinim derabbanan will rely on it, because it's a rove. The dinim deraisa, we're a little bit concerned. So what are some examples of dinim that we do rely on it for? So the Magen Avraham writes that we let the 13-year-old boy be mitzvah for a minyan, because the need for a minyan is on a midrabanan. We would let him lay, it's on a midrabanan. We bench mazum with him, it's midrabanan. He could be the Baal Tefillah, it's midrabanan. Most of the dinim being by mitzvah are only midrabanan. But every once in a while you bump into a raisa, so the Magen Avraham says, you definitely shouldn't rely on him. Let's say he wants to be the Baal Tekeyev. He just was by mitzvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we have no idea whether he has Beis Iris or not. So he wants to get up and blow shofar and shul, so we should have let him, because for dinim deraisa bechayshesh, that he's not necessarily by mitzvah. So does this have any implication for Hilchas Purim? So probably not, because Kriyas HaMegillah is only midrabanan, right? Not deraisa, it's only midrabanan. So not so fast. So Kriyas HaMegillah appears in Kisvei HaKodesh. It's in Nach, and there's a whole discussion in the poskim. Dinim that appear in Nach, are they treated like dinim deraisa or dinim derabanan? So on the one hand, they're not given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsina in the sense of a real din deraisa. On the other hand, they were incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh, the Rabbanu Shalom told the Nevi'im and the people who had Ruach HaKodesh to write these words down. So anything that's recorded in the Holy Scriptures has a din like a deraisa, and it carries all the chumas of deraisas to it. Oh, Zohar, when you get to Zohar, yeah. So when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, that's a big machlokes of poskim. Some poskim say that the whole thing is not true, that Kriyas HaMegillah is just a regular derabanan. It's governed by the regular dinim derabanan, and that's it. And just as we rely on the kid laying his bar mitzvah parsha, he can daven for the yamid, he can bench mezum, he can daven for the yamid, he can lay the Megillah without any qualms. And other poskim are not so convinced. Other poskim say that maybe we have to be machmir and treat it like Tekiyah Shofar, we have to treat it like other dinim deraisa. So based on what we said earlier, that there are many acharonim, the Nehud, the Yesaye, who developed this theory that maybe Kriyas HaMegillah is sometimes deraisa and sometimes derabanan. At night is probably derabanan, because it doesn't say that in the Megillah. In the daytime, maybe like a deraisa, because it does say Mayam Ha'ilnis Gam Menasim. That's the source that many rabbanim today have a split sock in this area. And they'll let a bar mitzvah boy lay the night of Purim, but they won't let him lay in the Kriyas HaMegillah by day. So you have a shot happens all the time. You have boys who come by mitzvah and they want to lay in the Megillah. So some have that pshara that they lay in only at night, they don't lay in the daytime. Those who are laying in the daytime are relying on the fact that who says this whole din of requiring bidika really applies to all deraisas, maybe it only applies to chalitza, so against the Magen Avraham. And maybe they're relying on the fact also that Kriyas HaMegillah maybe is only derabanan, like there are others who say that the Ran of Megillah says that b'feirish, the Kriyas HaMegillah is only derabanan. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that if you live in a city that's Safek Mukefes Chayma, so the Gemara says you have to learn on both days and you dial it in Tezvav. So the Ran says that the Gemara doesn't really mean that. That's just the Midas Chasidus. You want to know what the real din is? Says the Ran. The real din is that you just lay on the first day. Why is that? So the Ran gives two reasons why. First of all, he says it's a rove. Most cities are Tacha Yidalit. And he says, even without the rove, it's Logar for any other Suffolk to Rabbanon. He says, you're laying the first day, and then you don't have to lay again, Misafik. So you see that the Ran in the second answer invoked the principle of Suffolk to Rabbanon Lakula, talking about Kriyas HaMegillah. So obviously the Ran didn't buy into this idea that Megillah is like a derais. Obviously it's governed by the regular Kulas bid the Rabbanon. Forget for the HVH. So some people rely on this these sheep, and they let the little kids. The Bar Mitzvah boys laying the Megillah by day also, and the other person says it's not really right. But the more correct thing to do is not to have the Bar Mitzvah boy laying the Megillah by day. Two people already asked me to shout out this week about their invited to a Bar Mitzvah, and the Bar Mitzvah boy is going to lay in Kriyas HaMegillah in the daytime. So they want to know whether they should be yotzei to them, or they should hear the Megillah again and be suffolk later. So I told them, depends on the yes. said that Lechatchila you should try to hear the Megillah again afterwards if you can. If you can't, you have to rely on the poskim who are Mehekel. Even though when it comes to Kriyas Megillah, we're not so sure that we have problems with the Bar Mitzvah boy, but when it comes to Pasha Zohar, so then the poskim are very weary about that, because we're Chayishim to Pasha Zohar is a real Mitzvah Deraisa. Zechiras Amalek is Zichah Mitzvah Deraisa. The Gemara says that the Ferish Megillah, that we have a tradition that the word Zohar by Amalek is not just to think about, it means the path. All the Torah wanted us to do is to think about Amalek, it already says Losishkach. That we already know, we have to always think about Amalek, never to forget it. So the fact that the Torah says Zohar is a positive mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that says to be Zohar Mepeh. Whether that mitzvah of Zohar Mepeh translates to mean Kriya Mitocha Sefer Torah like we do, that's a big machlekes Taisim and Rambam. So Taisus and Meseches Megillah and Brachas write that when the Gemara says you require Zechiris Amalek Mepeh, that means Zechiris Amalek Mepeh Mitzvah Torah. It means you have to lay once a year, you have the whole Tadaram, what we call today Pasha Zohar, that's a real bona fide mitzvah derais of Zechiris Amalek Mepeh. And the Rambam says nothing like that. The Rambam, Hukas Malachim, describes that the mitzvah of Zechiris Amalek Mepeh means not with the Sefer Torah, it just means always to talk about Amalek. When? Whenever you get a chance. So right now, we're talking about Amalek. Sure. You don't have to do a whole ceremony with the Sefer Torah, with a minyan, with a whole Shabbat Zohar, with a whole Tish, with a whole Shabbat Tov, the whole nine yards, according to the Rambam. There's no such mitzvah. The mitzvah is every time you talk about Amalek Mepeh, that's the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiris Amalek. So in Shulchan Aruch, we're machri for Tais. In Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of Shitas HaTaisus. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, that quotes the Tumas Hadesh, that if a person doesn't have a minyan in town, he lives out in the farm somewhere, he has to make sure to come to Shulchan to come and spend Shabbos in the city for Pasha Zohar, because otherwise he's going to blow it. He's not going to be Yaitse, the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiris Amalek. So that which we are chayshish, that the reading of Pasha Zohar is mamash mitzvah deraisa, it makes a lot of sense not to have a mitzvah boy be the Balkari, because whatever comes to their ISIS, so we shouldn't rely on the boy who just barely turned bar mitzvah. You have to wait till the kid's a little bit older. How do you know that he gil chlal simanim? So you see, he starts to grow a beard already. You can already tell physically that he's already mature, that it's not a robe anymore. Then it's pretty much a vados. So then and only then would you enable him to be the Balkari for Pasha Zohar instead of any other potential der ISIS. Okay, so we spoke again a little bit about the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. That was the Niskarim. Now move a little bit to the Nasim. So the mitzvah of Nasim refers to all the other mitzvahs Hayom, and all the mitzvahs Hayom are pretty much linked to one another. They're all an expression of the same idea of Lasos L'Samimei Mishtev V'Simcha. There's a special din, Midrabar, Midrabar Kabbalah, that you have to celebrate the days of Purim as being Yimei Mishtev V'Simcha. What exactly does that mean, Yimei Mishtev V'Simcha? So the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that you have to make a Suda. There's a special chiyuv to have a Suda on Purim to fulfill the din of Yimei Mishtev V'Simcha. The Gemara says in Megillah, it has to be by Yom V'lo B'Layla. You can't eat the Suda the night before. You can't eat the Suda the next night. That's Shushan Purim. I don't need a puzzle to tell me that. That's obvious. It's not Purim anymore for the Namukah V'Chayma. But even the night before, even Motzei Shabbos this year, which is technically on the calendar Purim, but Afa B'Chayim, the mitzvah of Nasim has to be Dafka by Yom Lasas Asam Yimei Mishtev V'Simcha Yom V'lo Leilas. What exactly does that mean? You have to have a Suda's Purim. What exactly has to be made up of? So strangely enough, the Gemara and the Rishonim don't say explicitly that it has to have bread. Usually they're a dinim of when we think of Suda, so Suda usually translates for us to mean bread. But that's not necessarily the case. There is a machlokes of Rishonim about Suda Shabbos, whether Suda Shabbos technically has to have bread or not. So Rabbi Natan's opinion is that Suda Shabbos doesn't really require bread. Even though the Gemara says, Chayav Adam Lecho Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos, so Rabbi Natan says, that doesn't mean you have to wash three times on Shabbos. No such halacha. A Suda means other kinds of food also constitutes a Suda. Rabbi Natan brings it right from a Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah that Minei Tagima are acceptable for Sukkah. The Gemara quotes a view of Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah quotes a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that Yudal Sudas Chayav Adam Lecho B'Sukkah, that a person has to eat 14 meals in the Sukkah. Teishu Kein Taduru. We have not the Pasuk. Now, wait, Rabbi Eliezer holds Teishu Kein Taduru requires you to eat 14 Sudas in the Sukkah during the course of the week. Echab Yom Echab Alayla. And then the Gemara says that if a person missed a Suda in the Sukkah, he can be mashlim at Ashmini Yetzeres. What can you be mashlim with? So the Gemara says, Bimine Tagima. You don't have to wash. You can have some other kinds of food. Some Mishnah say mezayna, some say fruit, some say chicken, fish. It's have different opinions of what Tagima are. But you can have something else that can be mashlim that chiv of your dal sudas. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, you see from here that that's called a Suda. Mine Tagima, piece of lashon kugel is called a Suda. Bowl of cereal is called a Suda. Maybe a piece of fish, piece of chicken, maybe that's called a Suda also. So Rabbeinu Tam says, just as it's called a Suda in the worldview of Rabbi Eliezer, which we don't even accept, for Hilchas Sukkah. It's called the Suda for us for the purposes of Hilchas Shabbos as well. When the Gemara says Chayav Adam Lechol Gimel Sudas for Shabbos, so Gimel Sudas doesn't require washing. There's no din of Suda Shabbos to wash. So to fulfill that din of Suda of Lecha Mishnah, Lechor, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you take two whatever foods you're eating. So you take two pieces of gefilte fish, so that's called Lecha Mishnah. You take two pieces of potato kugel, that's called Lecha Mishnah. So Tosfos says to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't say that exactly. You can't say that there's no din of washing on Shabbos at all. The Gemara says in Brachas Beferish that if a person benched on Shabbos and forgot Ritzeh, he has to repeat the benching, because it's not like Rosh Chodesh. If you forgot Yalav Yavim Rosh Chodesh, you don't go back. The Gemara says, because you don't have to eat bread in the first place. So nobody told you to wash and bench in the first place. But in Shabbos, when you have to wash, the Gemara says Beferish, you must wash, you have to bench, so then you have to repeat the benching if you forgot Ritzeh. How could Rabbeinu Tam tell you a story that you don't have to eat bread on Shabbos? Most of the fairies should do. So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina in the back of the Sefer Brachos explained what Rabbeinu Tam was driving at. Rabbeinu Tam meant that al tzud the Shabbos, you don't have to eat. You don't have to eat bread. You have to eat bread for a different reason, because there's a din called Kiddush Shemachem Suda. That in order to fulfill the din of Kiddush, Kiddush has to be in a place of Suda, and the standards of Suda for Kiddush Shemachem Suda are different than in other areas of Halacha. The bare bone minimum definition of Suda means even mina tagima, according to Rabbeinu Tam. But in order to fulfill Kiddush Shemachem Suda, you need a Suda Chashuva, because the Rashbam writes in Pesach, one of the reasons why you need Kiddush Shemachem Suda is to give chashivas to the Yayin. If I make a toast on wine and I run out the door and I'll eat, so then that's a very cheap way of celebrating with wine. So with Chazal instituted Kiddush Al Yayin, so they instituted that has to be in Yayin Chashuv, that has to be accompanied by a Suda. So Ben Atam held that Kiddush Shemachem Suda warrants bread. So according to Ben Atam, you have to wash on Shabbos, but you don't have to wash to fulfill the din of Gimel Sudas, you only have to wash to fulfill the din of Kiddush Shemachem Suda. So my nafkamina, it's semantics, you have to wash anyway. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's a big nafkamina. When it comes to Shalashuddas, there's no din of Kiddush. You only make Kiddush by night, and then you make Kiddush again by day. There's no chiv to make Kiddush by Shalashuddas. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, by Shalashuddas, you don't need bread. By Shalashuddas, all you need is bina tagima. So that's the famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Taisa to Masech HaSukkah. But Suda Shabbos per se doesn't require bread, and therefore, there's no need to wash for Shalashuddas. So Taisus disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and we don't really follow this Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin that Suda Shabbos does need bread. Why does Suda Shabbos need bread? So Taisus writes, because it has to be Dubi Daman, because it says by the man, he means Mamtelchem Lechem in Hashemayim. So even though the man wasn't Mamish bread, but it was halachli, it was the equivalent of bread. So in order to commemorate the Nes of the man, it has to be Mamish Ayde Lechem. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can have a Suda Shabbos without bread. According to Tosfos, the only reason why you can't have Suda Shabbos without bread is because of Zeich Laman. But if not for that consideration, then the word Suda doesn't necessarily mean bread. The Suda just means to be sewing. Suda Lipchem just means to sit down and eat food, fill yourself up. That's called a Suda. So if a Suda's Purim, it doesn't say beferish that it has to be bread. That's what many Poskim say to Takanochiv. Strange as that may sound, you don't have to wash the Suda's Purim according to many Poskim. And others disagree. Others say, no, I'm happy to tell them, you have to wash. You can't not shach to have a Suda without the content. Again, for Ben Tam, again, for the Tam, for the Taisus. Others say, no, that Suda by definition has to require bread. So the bread part of Suda's Purim is the most controversial. It doesn't say that beferish in the Gemara. What about other things, other components, other ingredients that go into the Suda's Purim? So the Rambam writes that Suda's Purim, Ketuchet v'Suda Zu, how do you eat the Suda's Purim? So the Rambam describes Bosa V'Yayin. How does the Rambam know you have to have Bosa V'Yayin in the Suda's Purim? Because the Gila says, Lasa some you made Mishnah V'Simcha. It has to be Mishnah V'Simcha. So Mishnah Simcha, that idea of Simcha, is a term that we're familiar with from Hilchos Yontif. And Yontif is the mitzvah Samachta B'Chagecha, is the mitzvah Simcha Sayom. So how do you fulfill Simcha's Yontif? So the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Yontif, Ein Simcha El B'Bosa V'Yayin. The Gemara doesn't say that exactly. The Gemara says Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin. The Rambam added on Ein Simcha Ela B'Bos V'Yayin. So they say they wanted to know why the Rambam, how the Rambam knew that. But L'mayis, the Rambam figured that out. In his reading the Gemara Pesachim, the Rambam concludes in Hilchos Yontif Ein Simcha Ela B'Bos V'Yayin. So therefore, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah makes a lot of sense. Where the Rambam writes that you have to have fleishik at the Suda's Purim and you have to serve wine at the Suda's Purim. Otherwise, how could that be called? You mentioned the Simcha. So in order to fulfill the din of Simchas Hayom in terms of the Suda, so with machmi you have to have bread, and then mikra, then the Rambam says it has to be basar, and then there has to be some yayin as well. What exactly constitutes yayin for these purposes? So we know that in other areas of halacha, so we make a yayin doesn't have to be intoxicating. Grape juice also. In Uchas Kiddush, we make Kiddush Abdullah, make Mar Priyag Ofen on grape juice also. In the Gemara's of the Feirish, you can make Kiddush on grape juice. The Gemara's of the Sachin Adam Eshkel Shalanovim, you could squeeze out a bunch of grapes on Friday afternoon and fill up a cup of wine, fill up a cup of grape juice, and make Kiddush on it. You just did it before you went to Mincha, you squeezed out the grapes didn't turn into wine yet. So the Gemara's of the Feirish said, it doesn't have to be intoxicating. So that's what the Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, that that's the same is true when it comes to Sudas Purim. In order to fulfill Sudas Purim, you just have to have Yayin, whatever is called Yayin. So Yayin is halachically a grape juice, it's also considered to be Yayin. And according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the same is true when it comes to Simchas Yantif. That when the halacha speaks saying Simcha will be Yayin, as long as the Pidin is Yayin, that's enough. So others disagree, others say, no, it's called Yayin, but it's not called the Yayin of Yisamach. Now, it's not just Tamav Tzalach Mashtin, you have to drink wine on Yom Tov. The din is it has to be a type of a drink that's an expression of Simchas Hayoim. So the Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh, that means because it's going to get the person a little bit happier, a little bit more relaxed, a little bit cheerful by drinking the wine. So that's considered to be wine for the purposes of when there's a din of Simcha. According to other poskim, grape juice wouldn't really suffice for the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, nor for the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. So usually what I tell people is that anyone under the age of 21 has to rely on Rosh Shlomo Zalman Leis Breira, because against the law, they're not supposed to be drinking wine. We're not supposed to be giving them wine. So they have to rely on Rosh Shlomo Zalman Sheet. Anyone who's above the age of 21, who Hashem doesn't have any issues with alcohol, they could follow the other machmirim. They can follow those who say that should be wine. How much wine does it have to be? So it has to be with the Ramah Paskins. The Ramah Paskins, that even though the Gemara does use the phrase of Ad Lo Yada, famous Gemara Masechet Megillah, so the Ramah writes that we have a tradition that Ad Lo Yada doesn't mean it literally. Ad Lo Yada means that you have to drink a little bit more than you would usually drink, which hopefully should be very, very little, because people shouldn't be drinking anything the rest of the year. So you take a little mash or a little something, it's a revius of wine, and you take a nap. The Ramah quotes from the Kobo that as long as you fall asleep, you drink a little bit, so that's considered to be Ad Lo Yada. That's what the Ramah Paskins, that's what the people go. Paskin, that's what the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. Somehow people forgot this Mishnah Berurah. Every other Mishnah Berurah under the sun, they remember the Mach, every Sifkat and every Mishnah Berurah. And this is the Beferish Mishnah Berurah says, this is the way one should be Noyim. Chayin Ra'el Ha'ivas, the Mishnah Berurah says, so that's the way we should be Noyim. So Halach Lamaisa, there's no question about it, that anyone under 21 should not be drinking Bechlal, except for grape juice. Anyone over 21, if they want to be Yaitse Atla Yada, they should have a very, very small amount of wine at the Suda, very, very minuscule amount. There are some who have a concern that if you have a little bit of wine at the Suda, and when are you going to fall asleep exactly? In order to fulfill Ad Lo Yada, you have to fall asleep. So when is this big falling asleep going to take place? In the middle of the Suda? Or are you going to fall asleep at night? At night, ready, Purim's over. So how are you, unless you have an early Suda. When is this falling asleep going to happen? That's what some, the big machmirim say, no, you should have two cups of wine. You should have one earlier in the day, take a nap, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or after Mincha, 2 o'clock, yeah, have one cup of wine, have a revius of wine, and then take a 10-minute nap, and then your Yaitse Ad Lo Yada, and then there's another din, you have to have Yayin Pesach HaSuda, so you take another little bit of wine in the middle of the Suda and Shayin. So that's the biggest chumrah. That maybe two reviuses of wine spread out over the course of 8 hours, that's the biggest, that's less than the Lel HaSeder, that's the Lechadchila Shal B'Chadchila, that's the biggest chumrah. Anything above that is Shalakidim, so one has to be careful not to violate that. At night, there's mamish no mitzvah at all to drink. So nothing, not according to anybody, there's no bits for the drink. So any drink in that is any time a person drinks, not in the context of what the halacha requires, so that's mamash and aveira. You're not allowed to get drunk. It's surim gemurim for a person to get drunk. So one has to be very, very careful only to fulfill this mitzvah. Again, those who are over 21, to fulfill this mitzvah only in the tzura that the Gedolia Poskim have decided that is the correct way. All the Nimna Vagam rule in the last the generation or two, that this is the only correct way to fulfill the mitzvah this way, and irrelevant what anyone else ever told you. Yeah.
Somebody over
21,
can somebody who's over 21 go follow
Rav Shlomo Zalman? Rav Shlomo Zalman, Adam Gadol, so it's one of
Rav Shlomo Zalman.
So that's the shayla. So some hold that so something has to be with consequence to this. So others say no, that there are two halachas. There's one din of Ad Lo Yada. So that shear of Ad Lo Yada that requires shayna, that doesn't have to be in the suda. Then there's another din, you may mishnah v'simcha, that has to be in the suda. So that's the lumdus behind the two cups of wine.
Can you really also just elaborate? What are the different
sermons
in terms of getting drunk that you
reference? A person is going to get drunk, he's not going to perform mitzvahs properly, he's going to do aveiros, he's going to do all kinds of things that are shalakadin, and it's dangerous. So, a lot of reasons why.
also that emotion, that addiction, is that?
Yeah, a person drinks, tough, especially younger people are more prone to addiction. So a person becomes addicted to wine, that's kefela. So a lot of people will tell you that they became, how did they become addicted to alcohol? Because of Purim, because of Shalom Zachar, because of Chasimus, little minuscule drinking here and there. All of a sudden became a full-blown addiction. So I want us to be very, very, very careful about this. Okay? Good. All right, anyway, that's the part we'll talk about drink. Good. Anyway, move on to other parts of the mitzvah Asiyah. So there are two other mitzvahs that we do on Purim, which are also Asiyah-oriented, which are quite most probably also linked to the Suda. One is the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and one is the mitzvah of Matanos of Yoinu. So Mishloach Manos, at least the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah, is very much a part of the Suda. The Rambam writes that after he writes Ketzel Chav Suda Zu, after he defines what Suda's Purim is, then he goes on to tell you that Mecholik Misudos Lacherim. You have to give a little bit of your Suda to other people, and that's the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. That's what the Rav said. Do Mishloach Manos is a little bit madna. We do it first thing in the morning, and then we don't eat Asudah until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's what the Rav says. The Rav says, you sit down to your Asudah, and then you cholak misudas al-yachir. That's the Ika Mishloach Manos. So the Minhag Yisrael is usually not that way. Rav Sternberg says that it's hard to do it the way the Rav describes it, because if you do what the Rav describes, Rav Sternberg says, isn't that an Isser? How can you sit down to eat before doing a mitzvah? You're not allowed to eat before you read the Megillah, not supposed to eat before you hear Shofar, not supposed to eat before you say Kriyash, but you're not supposed to eat before you do Mishloach Manos. So you have to give Mishloach Manos first. So the Rav would respond back, no, but that's the mitzvah. That was the mitzvah, to be cholek sudasa. So whatever the lumbus is, the bottom line is most of us don't do it the way the Rambam describes it. Most of us do it. The Ikra Din is, as long as you're at any time during the course of the day, but the evidence, you gave a little bit of a suda to other people, that would be okay. So it has to be Mishloach Manos, it has to be two manos to one person.
Is there any meaning of making sure that you do it after you hear the Megillah, because the Megillah is where you can say Shechianu?
Yeah, so that's the Maram of Rittenberg, the Chumrah. We mentioned before that Machlokes and Tam in the Rambam, whether you make Shechiyonu in the daytime. So our minhag is that we do make Shechiyonu in the daytime. And the real reason why we make Shechiyonu in the daytime is because we hold, like Taisus, that the day mitzvah is the greater of the two, so it's like a new mitzvah. Then the Maram of Rittenberg says, for good luck, also you should have in mind that Shechiyonu is going on the Mishloach Manos and on the Matanos of Yonim, etc. Even those of us who are machmer for that maram, you don't want to give your Shalach Manos before the Kriyas Megillah, the Matanos of Yonim is very often given before. Anyone who gives money to Eretz Yisrael, so if you think that they're waiting till 10 o'clock when you're done with your Kriyas Megillah, it's going to be too late for the Aniyim. So I know that Rabbi Einstatter, those who weren't here the other day, so I should try to give a little money for that also. They usually collect the money in Eretz Yisrael at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so that's 7 o'clock in New York. I know when they change the clock, what's it going to be this year? No, so it's going to be how many hours, did Eretz Yisrael change already or no? They didn't change it? So it's going to be how many hours, then it's going to be only 6 hour difference. So they usually divide up the money at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of people didn't read the Megillah yet, so that's where that chumrah would come from. But we say that the Mishloach Manos is part of the Suda. That's the reason why a lot of poskim say that Mishloach Manos has to be roy the Suda. It's got to be something that you can mamish eat. You have to be able to serve it at a Suda. If you give a guy half a Hershey kiss and no pun intended, half baked hamitash or something, what's he going to do? He's not going to serve this at anybody's Suda. You boo should have put it on the Suda. So who says that that's Mishloach Manos? That's not no good. You have to give something that's mamish roy the Suda. That's what some poskim argue. The Mishnah Berura quotes the Rishonim who say that you can be yaitzeh with shtia, so you don't have to give doctor food, you give a drink also. So later Achmarim point out that that's based on the Gemara Masechet Megillah, but Rabbi Chananel had a different gears than that Gemara. So according to Rabbi Chananel, you wouldn't be yaitzeh with drinks. But the classic poskim is that you would be yaitzeh. That's what we assume halacha, you would be yaitzeh with drinks, but it should be, it could be either two.
Any snacks, like suit up for dessert?
It depends what they are.
Some things you
wouldn't put on
sour sticks for dessert.
You put sour sticks? You're a kid. Kids maybe would. I don't know. You give a guy a sour stick.
Is there a milk?
What? Yeah, if you give a guy Hershey Kisses, how's he going to serve it for the soup? He's supposed to be deflation.
He's
the yekia, but 3 hours he'll be into the little. By the time he wakes up from his nap, at the end he'll be. Some Sefer writes that you don't have to wait 6 hours between flesh and milk if you go to sleep. Because he says when you go to sleep, so everything works faster. I'm not sure what that means, but that's the Chassam Sofer. The famous story of the Chassam Sofer in his diary, that he wrote in his diary that he used to get up early in the morning before davening to learn. He would always have himself a cup of coffee with milk, and even though it wasn't always 6 hours when he ate dinner, he didn't bother him, because he said that since he slept in the interim, so that's the equivalent of 6 hours. Yeah. That's what it says in the diary. But Lemais and Shulchan Aruch, nobody quotes that. In Pesachei Tshuva, nobody in the classic Poskim knows. It's a story from the Chassam Sofer. But in the Chassam Sofer himself, in the Tshuva, it's not here. So we don't usually follow that. We usually assume that you have to have a full 6 hours. Anyway, getting back to this story. Yeah, that would be okay. Yeah, but you're giving a whole cake or something, so that would be all right. You're supposed to give Shalach Manos on Purim, but that's to give before Purim. So yesterday I got already 2 Shalach Manos sitting by my door and at home. So one of them said in big bold letters, do not open until Purim. So my daughter got all bent. Why not? Why can't we open it? So I explained to her, I love this. I said, I'm having in mind not to be Zoycha on it. I picked it up, Mamba's having in mind not to be Zoycha. So when I pick it up on Purim, it'll be assuming one of my other kids probably won't read the sign, we'll probably eat it before then. But if there's anything left of it, so then we'll have in mind to be Zaychan and on the farm. Somebody else sent me Shalach Manos that there was, I couldn't find anything in there. A lot of nice, cute themes and all kind of stuff, but I didn't find anything that was roy for anything in terms of any achila. But again, it didn't really matter because it was before Purim anyway, so you can send whatever you want. There are a couple of misconceptions about Shalach Manos. One of them is that the theme is ma'akev, and the other misconception is that you have to have 2 brachas. So somebody made that up. I don't know who made that up. Somebody made that up. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both write Shnei Minei Basar. As examples of Shalach Manos, they write Shnei Minei Basar, Shnei Minei Eichon. So Basar, last we checked, all meet a shakal. And the Rambam somehow didn't have any problems with that. So the din is you can give 2 foods, doesn't it?
So if Rambam says Shnei Minei Basar, does that mean, let's say, I can't give a guy 2 hot dogs, it has to be a hot dog and a hamburger?
Yeah, does Ram write Mina or Shtei Manos? I don't remember whether the Ram writes Manos or Mina. I forgot. I have to take a look at the Lashon Ram. I don't remember. You can't take a hot dog and cut it in half. I don't know. Maybe 2 hot dogs. I don't know. A hot dog and a bun. Avei Lemia, yeah. So the Ramah writes that our minig is that even on Ovel is Chayav in Mitzvah, that the Ovel should give 1 shalach to the other 2 Mitzvah. Some people should preferably not give to the other, because you're not supposed to send them gifts back and forth to Novel. It's like Shalom. So you should try to avoid giving Shalach Manos to the other. They quote from Rabbi Yashiv, who felt that if you earmark the Shalach Manos towards the family, you're giving to the wife and the children, you're not really giving to the other. So maybe that would be okay. I don't want to agree to that. There are different practices about that. But the Avil shouldn't be giving, shouldn't be involved too much in the Shalach Manos. You should just give whatever you have to give and try. The other mitzvah that's part of Lasos is the mitzvah Matanos Avyonim. It's unclear in the poskim how much you have to give from Matanos Avyonim. Some say that if the whole goal of Matanos Avyonim is to make sure that all the Aniyim have a Suda, you have to give the amount of money that he can buy a Suda. How much does it cost to buy a Suda? You have to, according to those who say you have to wash and you have to have a piece of meat and a little bit of wine, so that could run you up a couple of dollars. You can't just give a prut. A prut is good enough for tzedakah, but maybe you have to give more. That's a shalom. Mr. Brook quotes a question about that. Maybe a prut is good enough. Some say that maybe you have to give mamash to 2 different aniyim, the amount of different aviyanim, the amount that he could actually do something really with. So Rambam writes that a person should spend more money on the tzedakah aviyanim than on mishloach manos. Mishloach manos is a nice, cute mitzvah, but tachlis, the more money they give for tzedakah, the better. The Megillah describes as being Yasos of Yemei Mishtev is Simcha. So we have certain Maisim of Simcha that we do. What about the general mood on Purim? Is there a din of Simchas Halev that we find on Yontif? Din is that not only does a person have to bust the Yayin, but they have to be constantly in a state of Simcha. Is that true on Purim also, that you have to be constantly non-stop in a happy mood? The Mishtev is Nichas Adam Avim Simcha. So somebody told me a certain Lifkisha Rav that as soon as it was Shkia on Rosh Chodesh Adar, so he started to smile. He said, before Shkia is not going to smile, but we suffer, it's really been a shkosh, so you can smile after Shkia. And then as soon as Chodesh Nisan comes around, you can't smile. So as soon as the sun sets and Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you have to start frowning again. Okay. But unless you're like Rashi, Rashi writes that, Mishimichas Adam Amisimcha, Shekain Yeshbrim Yimei Purim V'Pesach. Pesach is Nisan. So you see from Rashi learned, Mishimichas Adam Amisimcha, that means when others comes, you start Simcha, and the Simcha continues. Not only other, of course it goes into Nisan. There's other in Nisan, and days of Geula, so those are days of Simcha. So you're supposed to be happy for the next 2 months. So it's a suffix. If you don't like that Rashi, then you can't smile in Nisan. If you like the Rashi, Yesh Pachal, you can smile. Okay. So this idea that the Rambam describes in Ruchas Yontif, that Purim, that Yontif are days, Mamash of Simcha, that you have to be in Samech, Tavlev, the whole day, does that apply to Purim also? So that seems to be the root of the issue that the Rishonim are arguing about, whether it's Shach to have a Velus on Purim. So some Rishonim say that if one of the guys in Shiva on Purim, so he should observe a Velus, observe regular Velus on Purim. Ah, you may Mishnah Vesim Chuk Siv. Nunu, so Yahya will still be sitting Shiva. And the Rama quotes that that's impossible. You can't have a guy sitting Shiva observing Avedas for Hesia on Purim. That's going to ruin the mood for everybody. So even though everyone's going to have the Basar and the Yayin, he's going to have his Basar and the Yayin, but Tachas is going to be sitting on the floor with his shoes off, walking around with his torn shirt. So that's going to detract from the Simchas HaRabim. So that would not be acceptable. So that's what Amminig is. The Rama writes that a person on Purim does not observe Avelus for Hesia, only Avelus for Batin. It's like Shabbat, Mesa Beregel. Normally there's no Avelus B'chval on Yontif because Yontif cancels Avelus, but if a guy was buried his mace on Yontif on Chol HaMoed, so then he observes Dvarim Shebetzin as well. So that's how with Darmo Paskins in Hilchos Purim. The Poskim have another shaila about whether it's permitted to get married on Purim, because normally there's a din of a Samach B'chagef Lo B'ishtecha. So on Yontif you're supposed to be gearing your whole Simcha around the Yontif, not around other external things. So does that din apply on Purim or not? That's a machlokes of the Poskim. So we pass in Mikra din, you're allowed to get married on Purim. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman get married on Purim, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that somewhere, some storybook about him, that he actually got married on Purim. So I think that's, if we pass in Mikra din, you're allowed. There are some who held that would also be a shter of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The reason why we probably hold that it's not a problem is for this reason, that on Purim, it's a different kind of a Simcha. It's not... It's not the same degree of simcha as it is in Yontif. There's a nuance of difference, so maybe that din of Imam simcha wouldn't carry over. Okay, so any other halachic questions? No, it doesn't stop. It just puts it on hold. Then you can. Shulchan Aruch also, the Rama writes the same thing, that we're not either on Yidal or Tzvah, even if you're not Mukhav Yisrael. Right? The minig as many people have is to have the Suda late in the afternoon, so it should schlep into the night a little bit. Others say there's no need to do that, but some posts can have such a minig that should be a little bit of simcha the shushan verb. But it should be enough time that the bulk of the Suda is be yod yom. You shouldn't start this year, it's a machai, this year, enough, a whole extra hour. So you shouldn't wash tamis bashkia. You should wash it enough time you can serve the main dish and the main meat and the main boss of the yai and everything. And then usually what we do is we start enough time to have the bulk of the Suda and dessert, schlep sich into after shkia. You have a big shiur lunch, yeah. That's a major event. Yeah, we don't do tachanun. There's no avelus. In terms of the mitzvah sayom, so there are no mitzvah sayom only apply to the people who are in Shushan or in Yerushalayim. Okay. No, the Gemara says beferish that the Suda has to be by Yom because you made Mishnah B'Simcha. So the Rosh writes at the end of that pasuk, it says you made Mishnah B'Simcha B'Shlishma B'Tal Sav Yonim. So it also has to be by Yom. So you have to, you can, let's say B'Tal Sav Yonim, we call in the money now, but the money is not distributed to the Anim on our behalf until the Yom Purim itself. So that was just a little bit of Divrei Chizuk, a little bit of Divrei Cyrus.